In one corner, Amazon, the heavyweight online retailer. In the other corner, Hachette Book Group, parent of numerous leading imprints, including Little Brown & Company and Grand Central Publishing. In the early rounds of this bout, both sides have taken bruising hits. Welcome to Copyright Clearance Center's podcast series. I'm Christopher Keneally for Beyond the Book. Book publishers certainly have a love-hate relationship with Amazon. They just love to hate the Seattle-based web giant. As the latest to cry foul over Amazon's strong-arm business tactics, Hachette is earning applause from authors and agents. Joining me with the details and other top stories from the week's news in book publishing is Andrew Albanese, senior writer at Publishers Weekly, and welcome back to Beyond the Book, Andrew.
Hey there, Chris.
Well, we will get to the main bout in just a moment, but let's start with some more friendly news, and that is a special supplement coming in this week's PW, looking at MFA writing programs, Master of Fine Arts writing programs, the so-called creative writing workshops.
Yeah, that's right. In Monday's issue, we're going to have our first supplement on a rather booming part of the book business, and that's on the writer's side with these MFA programs, which have been grooming authors for decades and expanding at a really remarkable rate. Now, most of our listeners probably know about the Iowa Writers' Workshop, which is considered the first institutionalized creative writing program in the nation, and that Iowa has nurtured so many great poets and writers that are now household names, too many to count, in fact. But since the 1960s, you know, the graduate level writing programs have been popping up everywhere. And by the 1990s and now in the 2000s, you'd be hard pressed to find a major university or even a small university that doesn't offer some kind of creative writing curriculum. And in Monday's issue, we have a supplement that takes a good look at these programs and, you know, whether you're interested in finding a program that you might be interested in going to, or just to get a better idea of the crucible in which many American writers are now being forged, you can check out that supplement in Monday's issue.
Well, as an escapee myself of one of those very programs, Andrew, I'll look forward to that special supplement. You know, these days, wherever writers publish, many of them are going to be selling on Amazon, and we've got some news this week about a bruising negotiation one publisher has been in with that web giant. Tell us what's going on there.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, and by now, most of our listeners have probably heard something about the fray. Basically, what has happened is that Hachette is negotiating new terms of sale with Amazon, and they recently discovered that Amazon was not fulfilling its print order swiftly. In fact, some books, which Hachette claims that Amazon has been supplied with, are marked out of stock or were given really excessive delivery times or 2 to 3 weeks. And I don't know anything on Amazon that's ever taken 2 to 3 weeks to arrive. So in an unusual break, Hachette officials publicly called out Amazon, something few publishers do, and the community has risen to Hachette's defense. You know, this week, PW was the first to report a letter from the Association of Authors Representatives to Amazon, and that letter just blasts Amazon for putting authors in the middle of a very tense negotiation. You know, for a company like Amazon that claims to have authors' best interests at heart, the letter notes, it's a really uncommonly brutal and unwarranted tactic to not fulfill ebook sales. So, you know, you can read the whole letter on the PW website, and that will give you a really good flavor of how deep this conflict is.
Well, you know, one way this goes deep, and this won't surprise our listeners, is straight to the Apple ebook price fixing case. And in Monday's issue, you've got a piece on how this current spat ties into all of that. Give us the background.
Indeed it does. And, you know, what we're really seeing here with Hachette and Amazon is that despite this, the actions now being sort of regarding print fulfillment, this is really the first shots in Amazon's bid to roll back agency pricing for ebooks. Now, for publishers, negotiating terms of sale agreements with Amazon has never been easy. But in the fall of this year, the publisher's 2012 consent decrees, which settled the price fixing charges against them, are going to expire. And with those expirations, Amazon's ability to discount ebooks will also go away. So suffice it to say, Amazon officials clearly see these current negotiations as perhaps their best chance to end agency pricing for ebooks. And the question I look at for Monday is, are publishers going to be able to hold firm on agency pricing, or will they give it up? You know, and it's an open question, to say the least, at this point, and it's complicated by a host of legal and ebook market developments. So on the legal side, first and foremost, is Judge Denise Code's 2013 final order against Apple. After finding them liable for their role in the price-fixing scheme, you'll recall that Judge Code required that Apple must now maintain the power to discount ebooks for an extended period of time, and then she staggered the order in which the publishers could renegotiate new agency deals with Apple into these exclusive six-month windows. Not surprisingly, Hachette is the first to be free to negotiate a new straight agency deal. That means no discounting of ebooks with Apple, and that will happen sometime in the fall of 2015. So, what does Apple's order have to do with Amazon's current negotiations? Well, in the immediate term, it certainly gives Amazon significant leverage. After all, you know, Amazon's ability to discount is about to expire, but surely they're going to insist on maintaining at least equitable terms of sale with Apple, a bitter rival in the ebook market, who is going to be able to discount through 2015 at least and beyond. In their appeal of Judge Coates' final order, the publishers clearly anticipated that this was going to be a problem in their next round of Amazon negotiations, because even though the publishers know that Apple is not going to use that discounting power, remember, Apple has said publicly and in court and under oath that they are not a low price competitor, what Judge Coates is really seeking to do here is to sort of test the bonds of the alleged publisher cartel. And you can really see how she's pretty cleverly doing so.
Right. It's a complicated story and important to try to follow very carefully. And so whether or not you believe the publisher's scheme with Apple was a product of collusion or just a shrewd business play, it's pretty clear, and no one really disputes, that the agency switch was a plan to blunt Amazon's ability to retaliate against individual publishers and allowing them to present a simultaneous united front. And that's what we want to see, or that's what we want to watch closely, whether or not the publishers do stay united.
That's exactly right. By extending Apple's power to discount and then staggering the post-settlement negotiations into six-month terms, Coates' order assures that the publishers cannot simply fall back into their position of collective strength that they achieved through this, what she says is collusion, once their settlements expire this year. Rather, each publisher now has to strike new deals with Amazon without knowing what their publishing competitors are going to do and based solely on their own economic interests. But let's make no mistake here. If the publishers still believe in the agency model, they can keep it. Unless you believe Amazon is prepared to dump each of the majors one by one, all the publishers have to do in their post-settlement negotiations with Amazon is maintain their resolve, and one by one, over the 2 years that these sanctions are going to exist with Apple, hold the agency line. The question, of course, is will they? And this is where the market developments come into play. Remember, when the agency deal was first struck and first began being talked about in late 2009, the ebook market as we now know it was just 2 years old. Now, 5 years later, much has changed. And, you know, despite, I would say that the biggest development by far is the merger of Penguin and Random House. Now, our listeners will recall that Random House was never part of the alleged cartel and indeed was never eager to shift to the agency model, and did so only after Steve Jobs personally appealed to Marcus Dole and Apple officials threatened to lock Random House out of its content stores. The thing now is that with as much as 50% of the New York Times bestseller list regularly controlled by Penguin Random House at any one time, what's to stop Amazon from making a publisher, you know, with the market power of Penguin Random House, a sweetheart deal that it can't refuse? Certainly that has to be on the minds of Hachette officials who are now engaged in negotiations, who alone will have to determine if they are going to fight and stand by the agency pricing for ebooks and endure the stick of Amazon's retaliation if a publisher like Penguin Random House after them is going to simply go for the carrot. So there's been a lot of support out there for Hachette so far, but actions are what's going to count here. So stay tuned.
And really, quite a story. It's got the elements of a soap opera here, practically.
Maybe it will be an update for my book.
You took the words out of my mouth. Andrew Albanese, senior writer for Publishers Weekly, and of course, the author of The Battle of 999. Andrew Albanese, thanks so much for joining us on Beyond the Book.
My pleasure as always, Chris.
Beyond the Book is produced by Copyright Clearance Center, a global rights broker for the world's most sought-after materials, including millions of books and ebooks, journals, newspapers, magazines, and blogs, as well as images, movies, and television shows. You can follow Beyond the Book on Twitter, find us on Facebook, and subscribe to the free podcast series on iTunes or at the Copyright Clearance Center website, copyright.com. Just click on Beyond the Book. Our engineer is Jeremy Brisky of Burst Marketing. My name is Chris Keneally. For all of us at Copyright Clearance Center, thanks for listening to Beyond the Book.